September 21st, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to review the book of Hebrews, starting from chapter 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is talking about Abraham, and before he entered into the city, he used to live in a tent, as the verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham is the forefather of the Old Testament people, and the Christians is the New Testament, an equivalent of Israelite in the Old Testament. So Abraham is our spiritual father, and he created the pattern of how we ought to live. If we learn anything from him is totally up to each of us, but if we follow his pattern and learn from him, we will be blessed. One thing he did was to live as a sojourner, a foreigner, and he lived in a tent, and God himself was in the tent with him, and God was with Abraham. As I mentioned before, Noah and the Ark, and it is the Ark of the Covenant. He was with the presence of God, and that's how he survived the flood. We went over this before, but the worldwide flood is coming in the end time. God promised that never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood, and never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. But at the same time, God is also saying that it will be like the time of Noah and Lot in the end time. So we believe the flooding of this time will not be water, but with the spirits of deception coming to the world like a flood. So if we know the presence of God, we will not be deceived. We will see the flooding of the evil spirits coming, like Harry Potter. You know that Harry Potter is a book about witchcraft, and the children who read the book will be fascinated by it. And since such books become the bestsellers, and this is the truly flooding of the evil spirits, and also Christian communities is also invaded by the demonic spirits inspired by the revivalists from the United States, like Benny Hinn, Rodney Howard Brown, and Bill Hammonds. Not many people know that this is not the spirit of God, but those who built the ark like Noah and stay close with the Holy Spirit, they will know, they will be able to discern the spirit, and they will be saved. The difference between wise virgin and foolish ones are whether they carry the extra oil or not. The oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I know we repeat the same thing over and over again, but this is what we are commissioned, this is what we are commissioned to do, and we have to be true to our calling. And verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I believe Sarah was 99 years old when she had a child. The verse says Sarah herself received the strength to conceive seed. In other words, one could have the seed, but she may not have the strength to carry it to full term. And I think that the same thing can be said about the seed in the form of Word of God, or seed of wheat, and the leaven of bread. As you know, if you don't plant the seed on a good ground, it will not grow. So in the spiritual world, when the Word of God is sown into you, either by hearing or reading the Word, then some people has the strength to carry it and nurture it, and other people don't have the strength to carry it full term, to see the fruition. So the seed remains as seeds. But Sarah had the strength to carry the seed by faith. So whether we have the faith like Sarah or not makes a huge difference in our Christian walk. And if one has the strength to nurture the seed, then the seed will grow to be something else, and the person will start reaching out other people to help them. I became Christian before I turned 20, and I read the whole gospel, including the part that says, "Well, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" My understanding of that verse was very shallow when I read it for the first time. I just thought that, yes, the human life is more important than the materials of this world, that kind of thing. So the seed was there, but it was still a seed in me. But now, after all these years, I know that this is about the eternal life, and the whole meaning of becoming a Christian is to obtain the eternal life. So I believe the word strength to conceive seed is such an important thing. But for some people, the seed is just planted, but it remains to be just seed in wayside, and we grow spiritually only when we can nurture the seed that's planted in us. Verse 12, "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." The book of Romans chapter 4 also describes Abraham as good as dead regarding his age. Death is also a symbol of sin, because sin is death. The Bible says, "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So Abraham being as good as dead does not necessarily mean that he was a sinful man, but he was in a condition that was close to death. But he had hope, and he did fulfill God's promise to become a forefather of many to come. This is an encouragement and teaching to many of us, that however close we may be to death, if we hold on to our faith, God will lift us up. Each verse contains such message that I don't want you to just read through it casually. I would like all of us to receive such hidden messages when we read the Bible. If you have a heart to learn anything from this, you will be blessed. But if you can't understand it, that is your limitation. I started being discipled only in my 40s, and prior to that, I was living a life with no fruit as a Christian. I might distribute tracts and flyers and trying to evangelize, but no one got saved, and I didn't know why I was Christian. So although I had biological children born, I had no fruit to show as a Christian. So I do understand the frustration Abraham must have felt. But I believed that God would one day use me if I kept my hope and faith, just like Abraham. And in my 40s, when I started being discipled, I started bearing a small fruit. I started doing what I do now, and I was helped by many people, but I was also able to help and encourage many others. And I found out that there were people who read my writings and then got saved because of it, and they came to the church later and told me so. And we are all sinners, and we cannot bear any fruit on our own. So Abraham's story is there to encourage us and to give us hope. And even if we are sin-laden and as good as dead, if we trust God, God will use us like Abraham. But Satan tries to make us depressed and make us believe that we are no good. There are many Christians who don't have yielded heart to God, but they accept Satan's suggestion with no doubt whatsoever, thinking, "Yeah, that's right, I'm no good." But those people are actually being unfaithful to God, because God never tells you that you're no good, and that means that they have not read the Bible or have not learned anything from Abraham's story. Verse 13, "These all died in faith, but not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." It shows that we may not necessarily receive all the promise of God on earth, like Abraham did not return to his homeland. Jacob stole the birthright from Esau, but did Jacob actually inherit everything as the birthright promises? I don't think so, but I believe what he was promised to receive, he received in heaven. So Abraham's promise to return to the homeland was fulfilled in heaven. So this can be said in our lives too. Things that are not fulfilled in this life will certainly be fulfilled in heaven. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Here, confession is also very important in our lives. Jesus said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whatsoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So we also need to confess with our mouth that we are also a stranger and pilgrim in this land. The opposite of stranger in the land is a dweller. Trend of the modern Christianity is to make us more like dwellers of the earth, rather than strangers who are just passing through. Many Christians don't see it, and if they continue to be deceived, they might lose the eternal life. And those deceivers always appear as a wolf in sheep's clothes. The Pope is a good example, for he has accepted all the religions to be righteous. And I think pretty soon the Pope will start saying that Jesus is not the only way for salvation. For he is already saying that there is no hell and the evolution theory is acceptable. Those teachings are for and by dwellers of the earth, the same as Rick Warren's purpose-driven church. If you get to the destination, any mean is acceptable. And that's, I think, the purpose-driven means. And that's the era we live in, and we cannot change the word of God. So we need to live by confessing our belief. We should not be focused on what the world focuses on, like the education and the reputation. All of them are good, but they are not the most important things. We see clearly from the life of Jesus. He had his eyes fixed on heaven and not the reputation of people. If he cared about the reputation of man, he would have lived a very different life. But he openly rebuked the sins of the religious leaders of the time. And even after his death, some people continued to badmouth about him. And that's the life of strangers. When you read the New Testament, you see that Jesus did not care about people's reputation at all. So we ought to be like that. We should not be double-faced and double-minded, being different to this person and to that person. We are all born naked and we die naked. We should be prepared to lose everything. Verse 14 and 15. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So we have to keep confessing that we are to return to the homeland, and we are just passing through this place, but if you love this world too much, you might lose the eternal life. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Those who are parents understand this, but giving up your child is the hardest thing. If God tells to give up your brand new computer or cash, you might hesitate a bit, but giving up your child is something unthinkable. But Abraham gave his only begotten son. And if he didn't love his son, it would have been easier, but he loved his son. For a long time, I thought it was just a story of Abraham. But when I was going to another church, I heard many people saying, I gave up my Isaac, or that was my Isaac for me, but I gave it to God. And slowly, I realized that this story of Isaac applies to all of us. It does not necessarily have to be your child, but we are all asked to give up what is close to our hearts. Some people cannot do that, but when we refuse to do it, this person would not be able to receive the kind of blessings Abraham received. I am not forcing anyone or I am not threatening anyone on this matter, But God also gave his only begotten Son to the world, and if God himself did that for us, we might have to do the same, I believe. And as for me, I started working as a prophet about the end time, and I thought my dream to become a priest would be ruined. The church I was with at that time had a seminary school, and then they had many churches all over Japan and overseas, like the US and in Brazil. So if I were to obey the church, I could have landed on one of the churches as a pastor. But they told me about this church, and they told me about this church in Kitakyushu. But God was pursuing me to do this work, and I knew that my position as a pastor would be jeopardized if I preached these kind of messages. But I followed God, and I got kicked out of the church, and I didn't have anyone ordain me. Well, usually when you become a pastor, someone has to ordain you, but I did not have anyone ordain me. But I feel like I am ordained by God, not by people, just like Paul, to do the work I do. So I am glad that I gave up my Isaac, because that's why I do what I do now. Verse 18, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. This is the pattern of resurrection, because he was once doomed to be killed, but God gave him life, so it is like a resurrection. So if we have the faith like Abraham, we might also see resurrection in our life too. Remember Martha saying to Jesus that she knows that her brother would come back alive in the day of resurrection, but Jesus was there to resurrect him right then and there. We all have to experience resurrection as a Christian. This is not only about the resurrection of dead, that someone comes out of their coffin, but spiritual resurrection. We were all dead in sins, but we get resurrected by the Spirit of God in us, and our faith enables us to do that. Just like Abraham, God is willing and able to do it, and because I have seen it with my own eyes. I'm going to read the last verse. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.